the 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com newsroom, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. I'm Gary Stevens. This news is brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Picture-perfect conditions will continue along the lakeshore this afternoon. A look at the Ottawa County Fair forecast from WHTC.com follows this news. We have just begun day three of the six-day Ottawa County Fair.
Today is Ladies' Day, and there's a few events that will cater to things that ladies like. Mixologist Sandy Sale will show you how to make refreshing summer drinks, and the demonstration concludes with a tasting. Cheryl from Earl's Meats will share information on preparation and selection of meats. At 3 p.m., get ready for ladies-only bingo. The evening takes on a masculine note with the Michigan Truck and Tractor Pull roaring onto the field at 7 p.m. Diane Costin, WHTC News.
The saga of the Wooden Shoe Motel continues in Holland City Hall this evening. A special business meeting for city council members is slated for 5:30 in the second floor training center prior to the regularly scheduled work study session. And the only topic on the agenda is a motion to remove from tabling a measure that would give the facility off of 16th Street and U.S. 31 a one-year probationary lodging license. That measure was shelved a week ago when First Ward Councilman Mike Trithewey, joined by City Manager Ryan Cotton, those repairs at the motel not done to satisfactorily meet code requirements.
We are not trying to put you out of business. That is not the intent. But as I said, we're looking at health, safety, and welfare. We're also looking at representation of the city and representation of yourself.
Cotton had initially recommended rescinding the Wooden Shoes license due to numerous code violations and law enforcement issues, but he changed his mind when co-owner C.J. Patel had showed efforts in repairing the building and improving security.
All the violation, everything has been corrected. The building does not have any problem with safety, health, or any other issues.
Council is expected to make a final decision on the matter in a couple of weeks. A private plane crash 3.5 years ago killed two Hope College students, and a wrongful death lawsuit against air traffic controllers in Muskegon in connection with that incident has apparently been settled.
The family of Emma Biagioni of Illinois claimed that the student pilot of the plane, David Otai of Kenya, had agreed to take the classmate up, got lost in the fog trying to return to the airport, and didn't get any help from controllers, eventually crashing into the ground trying to find the runway. Her family claimed negligence, and the federal government has agreed to pay $750,000 to settle the case. Jim Whedon, WHTC News.
Sales and revenues were up at Gentex over the past 3 months. Officials of the Zealand-based specialty parts maker told investors and shareholders this morning the net sales rose 2.4% in the second quarter of 2013 from the same time frame a year ago to $287 million, while the gross profit margin was up 2.7% to 35.8%, and net income was 28% better at $52.1 million. There may be some commotion in and around the Rest Haven Maplewoods campus on 8th Street in Holland this evening, but if everything goes according to plan, there shouldn't be a thing to worry about. Officials at the assisted living care facility say that a mock disaster and evacuation drill will be held at 6:15 p.m. with Holland Public Safety fire officers on hand to assist in the 2 to 3 hour event. The State Office of Highway Safety Planning says deaths from alcohol and drug-related crashes were up last year, but the year-to-year numbers may be a little bit misleading.
Spokeswoman Ann Redette says it's all relative. The numbers from 2011 took a steep dive and may have been due to record high gas prices and a still sour economy, keeping people at home and safe.
We did have a really significant drop in 2011 when we're more back to what I would consider normal in 2012.
Alcohol and drug-related deaths were up over 7% last year. The number of total deaths climbed from 319 in 2011 to 342 last year. Drug-related deaths and crashes were up, too. John McNeil, WHTC News.
Dovetailing CBS's coverage at the top of the hour. As the Detroit bankruptcy battleground moves to the courtroom, the outpouring of public opinion about the Motor City's financial woes continues. Now, one of the first who had predicted Detroit's bankruptcy earlier this year was State Senator Rick Jones of Grand Ledge. He isn't chortling now about his prophecy, but he mentioned in his appearance on Monday on WHTC's Talk of the Town program with host Juke Van Oss that he's confident that a leaner Motor City will rise from its current economic ashes.
I'm sure that a smaller, more vibrant city will emerge, and they can be successful. They simply can't have the infrastructure and the employees for a 2 million person city when they only have 700,000.
Detroit is the biggest municipality thus far to ever ask for federal bankruptcy protection, and some financial observers feel that there will be others seeking such economic shelter in coming years. Now, as Detroit struggles with how to address pension funds in light of its bankruptcy protection filing, Governor Snyder says the state itself could be a model for future success.
Snyder says Detroit's not alone in having issues with public sector pension plans, with other cities like Baltimore, Los Angeles, and Chicago all flirting with possible problems. He says Michigan's found a way to handle it at the state level, and perhaps others could use a similar model.
We're a role model at the state of Michigan to show how this can be done the right way in terms of saying there will be funding, there will be good things done. We've modeled out through 2038. On building a plan for success with respect to pensions at the state level. That kind of attitude and approach needs to go on across the country.
Snyder says he'd like to see the city work its way through the bankruptcy process by fall of 2014.
Sam Harold, WHTC News.
The dog days of summer may still lie ahead on the calendar and in the atmosphere, but on Wall Street, they're already here. Observers such as investment advisor Kevin Clark of the Raymond James office in Holland seen a relative lull come over Wall Street recently.
We've got a market that feels like the forward momentum is slowing and feels like there's an air pocket waiting for us maybe here later in the month, early in August. And, you know, that would be normal.
One thing that hasn't changed, according to Clark, is that the actions of the Federal Reserve continue to be the major theme for investors.
As long as they are going to purchase $85 billion a month, there is a floor under the market in some regards. And so until the Fed changes policy, any type of a correction in this market still would be somewhat of a buying opportunity.
Appearing on WHTC in the morning today, Clark told host Ray Kingman that with domestic markets apparently fully priced at this time, the real opportunities for investors may be overseas. Four-game series involving the Tigers, White Sox, and Cubs resumed this evening at U.S. Cellular Field in Chicago. The pitching matchup has Aníbal Sánchez of Detroit going up against the Sox's John Danks, as the Tigers have taken the first two games of the series by margins of 7-3 and 6-2. Paul Konerko and Chicago has kicked the ball around to the tune of seven errors thus far this week, and at 39-58, the last-place Sox are 15 games back of the Central Division-leading Tigers.
I don't think anybody saw, you know, this coming this year with the way we played last year, and we pretty much had the same pieces. You know, the ball just got rolling down the hill the wrong way, and we haven't stopped it. You know, if we knew the answer, if we knew how to stop it, we've tried all different kinds of approaches, I know, as a team, and, you know, it's a shame because the staff works hard.
Join Dan Dickerson and Jim Price for coverage of the Tigers versus the White Sox on 1450 WHTC, beginning at 7:45 p.m. Meanwhile, in Phoenix, the Cubs and host Arizona have split the first two games against each other, with Chicago winning on Monday 4-2 before former Tiger Kirk Gibson's Diamondbacks took last night's contest 10-4.
It's good. The guys have got some big hits and real good with the guys in scoring position, drove the ball into gaps. Just kind of played an aggressive game. And, you know, Patrick wasn't very sharp early, but he's just really good at battling through things. And it's only fitting that he got the win.
The Cubs sent ace Jeff Samardzija, the former Notre Dame football star, to the mound against Arizona's Ian Kennedy this evening. The Whitecaps are back home for a brief three-game series versus Fort Wayne beginning tonight before hitting the road again. West Michigan split a six-game Western trip with Monday's 7-3 loss at Peoria and has broken even in 30 games thus far in the second half of the Midwest League season. The Caps will be bolstered this week by a couple of Detroit Tigers who are making the trek west along I-96 for injury rehab assignments. It'll be a homecoming of sorts for Omar Infante, who played a dozen games for West Michigan in 2000 on his way up the minor league ladder. He's recovering from leg injury suffered in a game at Toronto 3 weeks ago and will serve as the DH tonight before playing some second base tomorrow evening. Also tomorrow night, left-hander reliever Darren Downs will toss one inning for the Caps. He's bouncing back from shoulder ailments. Now we'll have tomorrow night's game between the Caps and the Caps, White Caps versus Tin Caps. Here on 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com. Again, tomorrow night, the broadcast will begin at 6:50. The Ottawa County Fair forecast from WHTC.com calls for a mix of sun and clouds this afternoon with a high of 77. Partly cloudy tonight, low 57. Tomorrow, it'll be sunny, high 81. A partly cloudy Friday with a chance of a thunderstorm and a high of 83. Water temperature is 75, but a yellow caution flag is flying. And this news has been brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Check them out online at yourhometownagency.com. I'm Gary Stevens for 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.